And you yourself will have unnecessary kukucha. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. So now we have been discussing the different types of chittavitis in the morning in accordance with the object, with the nature of the object. The nature of the object is, someone has asked me about that, is according to the impact. In case of Panchadwara Viti, now I hope everybody knows what Panchadwara Viti is. I hope so. By now, after 2 weeks, you should become familiar with these terms. So in case of Panchadwara Viti, where we have two vatus, in Manodvara Viti we have only one vatu, not two vatus. Which are the two vatus in the Panchadvara Viti? The first is Bhavanga base. Vatu means base. And the second is Chakhu base. And the Chakhu we have already emphasized, and many, many times we have already said that the Chakhu here means what? Chakhu pasada, the sensitivity in the eye. We have already explained, according to the Abhidhamma, in the Chakhu we can distinguish 54 kinds of different rupas. If you learn the Abhidhamma meditation, you will have to learn how to distinguish them. Among these 54 kinds of different rupas, only one, Chakhu Pasada, is the Vatu and Dvara. It is the door. Of the Chakhu Dvara Viti, of the eye consciousness cognition process. And it is also the base of the eye consciousness cognition process. So you need, in order that the Chakhu Dvara Viti, the eye consciousness cognition process takes place, you need two bases, the Bhavanga base and the sensitivity of the eye base. When these two bases are intact, when there is light, when there is manasikara under these cognition, under these conditions, then the eye cognition process can take place. Without these conditions, no question. In case of ear, cognition, we have to have the ear base and the bhavanga unimpaired. We have to have the space element. And we have to have attention. Then the sota dvara citta viti process will take place. In case of the ghana, the nose cognition, you have to have the sensitivity of the nose unimpaired. You have to have the wind. You have to have the cognition. You have to have the manasikara concerned, the attention. Then it will take place. In case of the tongue, cognition, you have to have the tongue sensitivity unimpaired. You have to have the water. Then you have to have the manasikara concern. In case of kaya dvara, you have to have the earth element. You have to have the kaya pasada unimpaired. Then you have to have the manasikara concern. Then the kaya kaya dvara citta viti can take place. The bodily cognition can take place. So these are all these cognitions. They are paticca samuppada. They are interdependent. They demand, these are the main conditions, but when we discuss the 24 pachayas, which is a peculiarity of the Theravada system of analyzing interdependence, and you will find there are many, many other important conditions which we will not mention at present. When these conditions are fulfilled, what happens? We have already described. If we keep in mind that the cognition, the impermanence, according to the Theravada, always keep in mind the impermanence of the rupa is 17 times slower than the impermanence of the mind. And the impermanence of the mind is understood in terms of arising moment, staying moment, and the destruction moment. So we get three moments in one moment. So each kana, each moment of cognition can be divided into the three moments. As we have pointed out, according to some scholars, these three moments become only two moments. Because like if you throw a stone into the sky, it will go up as long as there is an impulse, the sankhara of taking it up. When the sankhara of taking it up is exhausted, it will not stay, it will immediately fall down. According to the similar principle, some scholars explain that there is no duration during the chittakana. There is only arising and passing away. But whatever it is, for the convenience, we distinguish one khana into three sections. So it means, as we have pointed out, that the arising of rupa and of nama, the arising of mentality and of rupa, appear simultaneously. The duration of rupa, however, lasts 49 sections. 17 multiplied by 3 becomes 51, of which upada, arising, and nirodha, passing away, appears at the same time. So you have 49 small moments appearing as the duration of rupa, while the nama, duration of nama, is then either non-existent or existent, just a fragment. So this is a great difference. So we have to calculate when we have panchadvara viti, when we have process of cognition through one of the five doors connected with sensual objects. So we have to calculate always these 17 moments. This is very important, that we what we have discussed in the morning. So if the object is atimahanta, then in these 17 moments we calculate only one past bhavanga. After one past bhavanga comes vibration of bhavanga and cutting of bhavanga. And the waves of cognition go up to the two moments of tat aramana. If you calculate from atita bhavanga, from the past bhavanga, to the second of the tat aramana, then you will get 17 chittakhana, 17 moments of mental cognition. This is a case of the atimahanta, of the great object. That means the object which has great impact on the chakupasada, on the chakuvatu. That means like a big stone, if it falls on the level of the water, the level of the water is broken immediately. Or if you have a drum, then you hit the drum with power. Then these sensitivities of eye, sensitivity of ear, sensitivity of nose, sensitivity of the tongue, sensitivity of the body, they are like the stones. Stones placed on the drum. It is very important to understand. The base, as we have said, the base of all the cognitions is bhavanga. The bhavanga can be compared to the drum. On this drum, we place the five stones. The five stones become many, many stones because this sensitivity of the body is spread all over the body. Then if you hit the drum, what will happen? If you hit the drum vehemently with a stone, what will happen? The sound will happen. And the drum starts vibrating. When the drum starts vibrating, all the stones start jumping. Because they are based in the bhavanga. If you hit vehemently, they will fly up right away. So the impact being strong, that is the Ati Mahanta Aramana, the big hit. So immediately fly up. So right after the one past Bhavanga comes the Bhavanga Chalana and Bhavanga Upacheda, and the mind process starts. The five-door process start. Now, if you hit the drum more softly, then what happened? Or if you throw the stone into the water, which is smaller, what will happen? It will take more time to break through the level of the water, or it will take more time to jump up. So, according to this same logic, you have to always calculate the smaller the impact of the object on the bhavanga through the five doors of cognition, the longer time it will take for the bhavanga to be interrupted. So if the object is not very great, then the tat aramana will not be there. Then you have to cut the two moments of the tat aramana, you have to add to the one moment of the past bhavanga. Then you will get because the heat was a little slower, a little less, then it will take 2 moments more for the bhavanga to be interrupted and for the active process of five-door cognition to start. Now, there is a case of a small object. Like if you gently hit the drum, or if you use a very small stone and throw it on the level of the water, it will take much longer time to sink down or to move. So similarly to this principle, there is a parita. When the object is small, then there will not, with a small object, there will not be then going through the object. The javana process of running through the object, that means the most important part of the cognition, will not be there. So, what happens? The twice or thrice the votapana mind happens, but because the object is not distinct, it will not run through the javana. So, depends how many times the votapana will happen. You will have to calculate. You will have to add, instead of 3 past bhavangas, you will have to add 5 more, so there will be 8 past bhavangas before the vibration of bhavanga will happen and the cutting off the bhavanga. But then when the bhavanga is with a small object, when the bhavanga is cut off, because the object is too small, not clear enough to decide about it, therefore, in this case, there will not be any javana. Javana is that part of the cognition where wholesome or unwholesome will, mano sanchetana, that means a karmic force, comes in. But because the object is too small, there is no place for the karmic force to come in. So it will not have any significant influence on the following cognitions. You have to understand, I have already many, many times I have pointed out that according to the Abhidhamma, within one snap of the finger, you have thousands of these processes happening. Normally, you are a normal person, is not aware of them. You only start being aware of them when the after hearing or after seeing some color, you start thinking about that color and you determine that this color or this sound is such and such, and whether you like it or whether it's pleasant sound, whether it's not pleasant sound. Then you start being aware. But as we have said, the key dhamma to understanding of cognition is ekagata, one-pointedness of mind. If the mind has no one-pointedness, it cannot use the power of wisdom. The Abhidhamma is all teaching based on the power of wisdom, and the power of wisdom has no function when one-pointedness of mind has no function. The one-pointedness of mind is the base for the panya, for jnana. Without it, no question of any real knowledge. Never, not only in Abhidhamma, in the Suttanta, even in the Vinaya, because the essence of Vinaya is also wisdom. It is many times it is said that only samahitam chittam, only the mind which is one-pointed, here samahita means one-pointed, yathā-bhūtam pasati means sees things as they really are. And what means sees things as they really are? We have already pointed out that in Abhidhamma, the wholesome cognition is what? Nama, rūpa, anicca, dukkha, anatta. This is yathā bhūta. The mind which is not concentrated cannot see nama, cannot see rupa, cannot distinguish what is nama, cannot distinguish what is rupa. Not to speak of seeing the continuous arising and passing away of nama and rupa in these mental processes. No question of seeing that. So the concentration of mind, the samadhi, can be compared to a microscope. If you don't have a microscope, no question of seeing the cells, not question of seeing these different organic or anorganic particles. Of materiality. This is impossible. This can be seen only if we have the magnifying glass or the microscope. Then you will, the one, this small flower is composed, and you will see it's composed of thousands of different cells. And you can make the one cell with an electronic microscope, you can make one cell as big as a whole house. The same capacity we have in our mind with concentration. Concentration is like, just like an electronic microscope. It can magnify the object 1,000 times, 100, if you have a good concentration, 100,000 times. Then one snap of the finger becomes eternity. You can stop it, stop the whole mind due to the power of concentration, and then see one by one all the moments of cognition, just like you see with electronic microscope, one by one, all the different cells and the even the parts of the cells. So the wonderful biochemistry of Abhidhamma based on only on concentration. You know, the everything, study of Buddhism is a study of interdependent origination. Meditation is also interdependent origination. In order to see these dhammas, in order to learn samatha wisdom, you have to keep certain discipline. If you keep certain discipline, if you have a teacher, you can. It is much better. Even if you don't have a teacher, you can succeed in samatha. It is possible. But the vipassana is not like samatha. The cognition of vipassana is, among others, in order to realize the cognition of realizing sotapatti magga, of realizing the supermundane path. And the Abhidhamma, whatever system of Abhidhamma we use, is nothing else but a model helping us to realize the supermundane path. The Abhidhamma, as we have said in the beginning, is not the ordinary Dhamma. It is the Dhamma of the enlightened man, of those who have realized the path and those who have the capacity also then to lead others to realization of the path. If such a person is not available, who has himself seen these things, then you cannot, it is very difficult to succeed from the book. There has to be someone who points you out how to see it. Then you will see it. So in Abhidhamma, everything is discussed in detail. It's also one of the conditions of succeeding in realizing the supermundane path, that you have someone to explain you that not just that this Dhamma exists, but how to see these Dhammas. And I will try a little bit, cannot try everything, but a little bit to give you some ideas how to see them. Then that is why we have started not according to the order of the book, we have started according to the order of the living tradition. Just for that, so that you get the taste of what from the book you cannot know. Impossible. There has to be an experienced teacher to show you. You can read the Visuddhimagga a million times and learn the book by heart. But unless you have a teacher who will point you out how to proceed step by step, you will never be able to see these things which are described in Visuddhimagga. Because the order is not according to the order of the meditation, it is the order according to the order of the scholarship. The same you have in this Abhidhamma Sangaha, order is also not according to the meditation, but according to the scholarship. Now, we are trying to learn not according to the order of scholarship, but I am trying to teach you a little bit, a taste of the order according to how you learn it in the living tradition. Is it clear? Okay. So we come back to the chittaviti, to the path of cognition. When the object is small, then appropriately you have to calculate the 17 moments, take the, instead of then one past bhavanga becomes many, many past bhavangas. You always have to calculate the 17 moments because, as we have said, the impermanence, the process of cognition is the contact between an interrelation between the rupa and the nama. An interrelation is in the process of appearance and disappearance, as we have pointed out. The nama is nothing but the santati of nama. The rupa is nothing but the santati of rupa. Continuity. And in this continuity, we take this continuity to be something real, to be something self-existent, because we do not see that this continuity is composed only of kalapas, always this word kalapas. That we have rupa kalapas and we have nama kalapas. And what appears and disappears in these processes is not any substantial rupa or substantial nama, it is only the kalapas of rupa and nama, nothing else. And these kalapas are just kaya, are just a conglomeration of many, many different dhammas with different, each dhamma has different function, different manifestation. Unless you see this, then you will be deluded about the nature of the cognition, and you will believe that this cognition is my cognition and this rupa is related to me or belongs to me or is of me, is mine. I am the rupa, I am the nama. So why are you learning this process of cognition? In order to break this delusion of self-existing nama and self-existing rupa. You have to be very clear about that. The nama can arise only in relation to the rupa. Rupa can arise only in the relation to the nama. So, now you know the duration of the rupa is 17 times longer than the duration of the nama. That's how they interact. No matter whether the object is great or the object is small, these 17 moments will be always there. This is how you calculate these different processes. So the fourth type of cognition is an moghachitta, so to say, useless cognition. That is a cognition where the mind does not run even up to votapana, even up to decisive moment. Then most of the scholars agree when the mind does not run up to the decision moment, then it will not even go through receiving object and investigating object. So it only runs up to turning towards the object and does not cross over. Then after turning, few moments of turning towards the object, it falls back into the bhavanga. In this case, you will have to calculate many, many, many past bhavangas. Just like you touch the drum or you touch the water. But if you just touch the drum, the stones will not jump. So in this case, what happens, you have a certain awareness that some object is there, but you have no idea whatsoever what kind of object it is. You must have experienced this situation many, many times. So these are the four types of interreaction between the nama and rupa in the five-door process of cognition, according to the intensivity of the impact of object on the door of cognition. Needless to say that the impact of the object on the door of cognition is also the impact of object on the bhavanga, because they are related. Just like the example of the stones on the drum, when you throw one stone on the drum, the other stones will also jump up. So when there is a process of cognition through the eye door, automatically the other pasada rupas, other sensitivities are also activated. But because the eye is only, sensitivity of the eye is only connected with the cognition of color, therefore the process of cognition does not appear in other doors. But they are also activated. Just like you hit the drum, all the stones will jump up. Not only one stone. Now, if you have a very, very powerful concentration, it can also happen. The fact that the poets Rimbaud, he speaks of tasting the colors, or of of hearing the colors. The poets have been describing all kinds of processes. This is not just a fantasy. If the mind is very powerful, it can directly cognize the object without going through the respected doors. But we leave this for the moment. It is just for inciting you to go deep into concentration, to experience by yourself. Then the poetism, certain people, certain great artists, painters, or poets, they actually experience these things, which seem to be completely illogical, but when you study Abhidhamma, they actually not so illogical. They are quite a natural outcome of superior concentration, which the poets and the painters are themselves not aware of, but the Abhidhamma can explain it. Why? Because when you activate one process of cognition, because they're all based in the Bhavanga, all the processes, all the sensitivities are activated at the same time. It's a very important principle to understand. All cognitions are based in the base of cognition, in the Bhavanga, in the cause of existence, because consciousness is the cause of existence. And all the cognitions are based in this cause of existence, the basic consciousness, in which our previous cognitions are being stored. So we have now discussed the Panchadvara cognition, the cognition through the five doors. We have pointed out the peculiarity of this cognition, that you need two bases instead of one. There has to be Bhavanga base, and there has to be the eye base, or the ear base, or the nose base, and so on. Now, in the mental cognition, you don't need two bases. This mental cognition only happens with one base, and that is, according to Abhidhamma, it is the Hadaya Vatu, the heart base. This is, as I have pointed out, the peculiarity of the Theravada system, which has been object of very serious criticism of the other schools. But it can be easily understood if we understand the method of meditation in the Theravada system, because it is a living tradition, it is easy to understand. Anyway, so the base of cognition in the Theravada system is Zen Rupa. Huh? This Hadaya Vato is a Rupa. But the door of cognition is Bhavanga. But the base of cognition is Rupa. And it is not only Rupa in the abstract sense, it is not among the 28 Rupas used for explaining Rupa, it is among the 18 Rupas which are Samasana Rupas. That means the Rupas which must and should be seen in the process of Vipassana. This is a peculiarity of the Theravada system, which has been very often misunderstood and even ridiculized by other schools. Now, very interesting, I just diverse from my subject a little bit, but it is very interesting. I have one disciple, German disciple, whom I have taught a little bit the Abhidhamma meditation, and who is a scientist. I'm not a scientist and not very interested in science. Now I become a little more, but more in Chinese science and Indian science. But according to science, what they have found out in the recent years, now they're making research on just about everything. So they have been making research on the patients who have a transplanted heart. Huh? These days, the heart can be transplanted. When you're sick, when you have heart sickness, they put some heart of a dead person, they put in, replace it, and you live with the heart of a different person. Now they have been doing research on these people with transplanted hearts, and they have found out that after the transplantation of heart, the character of the person who lives with a different heart changes very drastically. They become a different person after they have undergone this transplantation of the heart, huh? Which sounds very interesting for the students of the Theravada Abhidhamma, huh? Which, because according to the Theravada Abhidhamma, the Hadaya Vatu is it is described even its shape. It is the inverted lotus. And it is the blood, the yogis, they can see according to the, when you have supernatural powers, you can see the color of the blood in the heart. It is one of the power of the yogis, not only the Buddhist yogis, but the Hindu yogis, the Jaina yogis. I believe in the ancient times, even the Western yogis, they were able to see it. You can also see the, not only in the heart, also here, how the changes, the color under the eyes. Those who have very strong concentration, they can see it. Each different emotion has different color. So it has been taken for granted that when the emotion changes, the color of the blood also changes. And this Hadayavatu, the heart base, is nothing but the blood in the heart. But it is matter of the yogic perception. It is not matter of the normally we cannot see it. That if you train in concentration and if you have a competent teacher who can guide you in the practice of the four, it belongs to the Chaturdhatu Vavatthana, the differentiation of the all the different kalapas and so on. You can distinguish the Hadaya Vatu Dasaka Kalapa. You can see it very clearly as being a non-transparent kalapa with 10 constituent parts. All this is easily seen. You don't need the necessarily to rely on the supernatural powers. Even with pure vipassana, you can see it. It is possible. But let us come back to our explanation. Then Hadayavatu, this is peculiarity of Theravada, is a base for mental cognition. And the door of mental cognition is then this Bhavanga, which is established in this Hadayavatu. Even so, the consciousness as such has no place. Consciousness is everywhere. How can consciousness have any special place? But still, the consciousness is bound. And it is not only Buddhist tradition, in the whole of Indian and Chinese philosophy, the consciousness is bound to heart. This is a peculiarity of the Oriental philosophy as opposed to the Western philosophy, where consciousness is supposed to be based in brain. According to Buddhism, and if you study Abhidhamma meditation, you will be able to see it. The brain is only supportive function of the Hadayavatu. But the central place is in the heart, not in the brain. The brain is only supporting. So it does not mean that brain is not important. Brain is the one of the most important things that we have. But the brain is only supportive. If you have studied in the Chinese medicine or the Indian medicine, there is no such organ as a brain. It is neither among the Fu, neither among the Zhang. It is only supporting, not an organ in itself. And the whole circulation of energies is subordinated to the organs, and the brain is not among the organs. It becomes only secondary organ, not the primary organ. So this is sometimes the outer science and the inner science are in agreement. Sometimes the outer science and inner science are not in agreement. This is a case when there is no agreement of the outer science and the inner science. In order to make non-agreement agreement, you will have to find out in yourself. I hope you all get inspiration and try to work hard on it. To solve the duality between heart and brain. If you have solved that duality, you have done much for yourself, and then you can also do much for others. So, again, come back to our base, to the in Abhidhamma, simply spoken, the base of mental cognition is then this rupa called Hadayavatu, and the door of mental cognition is this base of consciousness, which is base of, so to say, the cause of existence, cause of the continuity. Cause of existence means the cause of continuity of our existence, and it is the bhavanga. Now, as opposed to the five-door cognition, the mental cognition the object of mental cognition appears from the bhavanga itself, not from outside. What is the end of lesson? You are...
Press too many buttons at the same time.
It beeps. Okay. Let it beep. When it beeps, it means it's still alive. So it's a good sign. So the object of mental cognition, then important to understand, appears from the bhavanga itself, from the base of cognition itself. Therefore, you don't need to calculate the 17 moments. And what happens? Generally in the Abhidhamma, there are some scholars like Lady Sayado, who also in the mental process distinguishes four kinds of mental processes. But normally, the Abhidhamma accepts in mental processes, according to the object, only two types of mental processes, with Vibhuta and Avibhuta. Vibhuta means with a clear, very clear object, And avibhuta means with not so clear object, but still it has to be clear enough to run through the javana. So in case of the vibhuta aramana, the very clear object, what happens? The past bhavanga, vibration of bhavanga, cutting of bhavanga, then when the cutting of bhavanga appears, immediately after that, whether you like it or not, it is an automatic mind. Which mind? Manodvara avajana. The turning towards the mental object. This turning towards the mental object, as we have said, it has how many mental factors? Sabbachita sadharana, 7. Vitaka, applied thought. Vichara, sustained thought, adimokha, determination, and virya. You have to add virya. Why? Because it needs some support, it needs some power to decide about the object. According to its decision, then the following process of active cognition will be either wholesome or unwholesome. If it is wholesome, then it decides this is rupa, this is nama, this is impermanent. What is impermanent is suffering. It comes automatically. Seeing impermanence is seeing suffering for the wise one, because the yoniso manasikara, the mind established in reality, is a mind of the wise one, not of the non-wise man. One. This is rupa, this is nama, this is anicca, this is dukkha, this is anatta. It comes at the same time. When you see appearance and disappearance of mind and its object in each and every moment of cognition, then you cannot have an illusion of this mind and its object of being myself, or as belonging to myself. Or as existing in myself. Or as appearing of myself. All these possibilities just do not arise. So when this automatic turning to the object of mental cognition has appeared, then the mind runs through the object, the 7 moments of javana or 6 moments of javana appear. Then if the object is very, very, if it is very clear, then at the end of the javana will come again the tat aramana. If the object is not so clear, then it will only run through the javanas and fall, after the javana, fall again to the bhavanga. Now, some scholars believe, as I have mentioned, it is Lady Sayadaw. I can't think of any others, that even in the mental cognition, it can happen that there will be a small object or even the very or mogha, useless cognition. If it is small object, then naturally it can only run up to turning to the mental door. If it is the mogha, useless cognition, then what will happen is just the vibration of the bhavanga. And now, because you have vibrated your minds, so you give it some rest, time for meditation. So we will transfer merit for the benefit of all beings, and I hope you can get a good samadhi. Akasatta chabumartha deva naga mahidika punyang tang anumoditva chiram rakantu loka sasanam. Akasatta chabumartha deva naga mahidika punyang tang anumoditva chiram rakantu desanam. Akasatta chabumartha deva naga mahidika punyang tang anumoditva chiram rakantu tumamparam.